Remember last week we talked about perseverance. And, this week we kind of want to talk about something that kind of goes along with it. And that would be faith and trust in the truths of God. In modern society, faith is nothing more than wishful thinking. For example, I hope everything works out all right, and I have faith that it will be, and it'll work. Now, biblical concept of faith far surpasses the superficial approach and is a vital necessity for walking with Christ. George Mueller, who lived in the middle 1800s, he was an English pastor who dared to trust God for the needs of countless orphans. And he said, "Faith is the assurance that the things which God has said in His Word is true. Faith is not a matter of impressions, nor of probabilities, nor of appearances." And another theologian, Andrew Murray, and he lived second half of the 18th century, early into the 19th century, and he was a South African pastor who wrote many devotional papers. And he said, "Faith always attaches itself to what God has said or promised. When an honorable man says anything, he also does it. On the back of the saying, follow the doing. So also it is with God. When He would do anything, He says so first in His Word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can gather here together to go through Your Word, Father. And we just ask that You be with us this evening. And Father, I want to lift up this nation as we, this Sunday, going to, I shouldn't say celebrate, but remember those who lost their lives in that tragedy. And we pray, Father, that You would protect this nation and stop any other tragedies that might be planned for this Sunday. And again, Father, be with all the first responders. And be with us, Father, that we can learn to trust in You and only You. For we want to thank You and praise You and give You the glory in Jesus' name. Well, I got quite a few scriptures tonight, so I just hope you all got your Bibles with you. So, let's start off in John chapter 6 and in first of all, Jesus got finished teaching the Sermon on the Mount and he had left and he's gone back to Capernaum. And some people followed him and they came to him and they had a question for him and they asked him in verse 28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." See, God desires belief and faith from the individual. For as it states in Hebrews 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, in defining some faith, faith, or I should say the opposite of faith, is not doubt. Doubt is, however, it actually is not doubt, it is unbelief. Doubt only needs more facts, where unbelief is disobedience and refuses to act in accordance with what God has declared. So let's look at some things in faith. First of all, let's look at, as you have heard, walking in faith. And we can do that with some examples from the Bible, of course. So first of all, I'd like to go on over to Acts 27 and look at something there. Now, when Paul was going to Rome, and he was on a ship, and they had left Crete, and they ran into one horrible storm. I mean, this storm was so bad that they were throwing everything on ship overboard. And everybody was scared that they were going to die. And yet, what did Paul do in this time? And if we look at verse 22, we see what he said. "And now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.'" Now, can you imagine the conditions they're in right now, the storm blowing, the ship just moving all over the place and rocking and carrying on, and half of them scared out of their wits? And Paul's face is so strong, he just stands there, from the looks of what I see, calmly, and tells him, "Hey, we're going to lose the ship, but nobody's going to lose their life. We're going to be all right, because I believe God." That's pretty strong faith right there. And then we go over to the next book, Romans, in chapter 4, we see that Paul was telling the Romans about Abraham in verse 19. He's talking about Abraham. He says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." So he put his strength in his faith in God, because God had told him that he was going to have a son. But yet, he believed it would happen. And then, of course, there's Hebrews 11, chapter 1, which a lot of you know this verse. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So we see it's not just believe in God, but it is believe what He says. And there are many, how should I say, objects of faith. And not necessarily are they all good. For the Bible is full of all kinds of people with all kinds of faith. And so let's first take a look at some of the unworthy, should I say, objects of faith. Go over to the book of Psalms. And if we start right in the very beginning, Psalm 1, verse 1, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And we see the ungodly, sinners, scornful, all the same. They're sinners. Not too good of people. And yet, we notice the digression there. First, walking with them, associating and stuff like this. And then you stop and stand and concentrate on it and get so comfortable, finally, you're sitting with it. Not a good idea. And over a few psalms to Psalm 33. I told you we were going to look at some verses tonight. Psalm 33 and verse 16. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. So we see where people can be putting their faith and their trust in something that's, though might look pretty good, is not. Like an army, or your own strength, or a horse. Could be nowadays, could be a tank, you know, something else. The idea is their focus is not where it should be. It's on something else. And then Proverbs 3 also states, and this is, I lost Proverbs 3. There we are. Oh, there it is. This is kind of a memory verse, guys, remember? 5, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Again, we can have false hope by leaning on our own understanding when it clearly states to trust in God. And then one more there, going right along, Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. So, there's a whole lot of things out there that people put their trust and their faith in, which is not a good idea. So you might want to ask yourself, if you have a tendency to depend on any of these things in your life, and if you do, stop, take the time, and think about what would be the inevitable result of placing faith in any one of these things. Now let's look at the good side. Things that are worthy of our faith. God's promises. God's truths. And God fulfills His promises. We can see that in a couple of scriptures too. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. Since we've been doing the verses before the services, you find it easier to find books of the Bible now? Yeah. Okay, chapter 8 and verse 56, way near the end there. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses. Again, putting faith in God's promises because they do not fail. In Psalm 89, again, Psalm 89, verse 34. Once I have sworn by my holiness, 34, pardon me, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So again, God made a covenant and he will not break it. And he makes promises and he will not change them after he made them. Like so many times you hear today, somebody makes a promise and then they change it. God will not do that. His promises he will bring to pass as he said. And if we look back in Numbers, there's a quick one I have there. Numbers 23. And verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? God will make good. And the last one there would be New Testament and 2 Peter. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter and verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So by his promises, he promised us that he would keep us from the corruption and the lust of this world. That is great to know. In fact, we have examples of faith all throughout the Bible. And there's one place they're all put together for us in one, and that would be the faith chapter. Everybody know what that is, right? Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, right. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is just chock full of people who had faith in God, strong faith in God, through the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just look at the list of people there. Let's see, we got Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab. Find interesting there too, Rahab was not an Israeli, was not a Hebrew. Gideon, Barak, not the one we know of today. Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, and many more throughout history, including us today. We can be in that. So, to give an example of some of the truths that we can trust, it's a little exercise that you can do, not saying you have to do it here, but think about this. It's an exercise you can do. It is. You take a piece of paper and you make three columns on the paper. And in the first column, it's the verse. And the second column is the truth of what this verse is, what truth you found in that verse. And the third column would be the condition, if any. A couple of examples. John 15. In John 15, Jesus is saying here in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So the verse is John 15:7. The truth out of it is, your desires are going to be met. The condition is, you must abide in Him, and His words abide in you. Because then your desires will be in line with what God wants for you. So, and another one we can find in Isaiah. Hope I'm not wearing your fingers out going back around here now. Isaiah chapter 26. In verse 3. You've heard this one before? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Or what it says, God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him, because you trust Him. So, there's the truth. You can have perfect peace. Condition? Have your mind stayed on God. Amen. And it works. Believe me. And one more. Romans 8. Another familiar verse that you've all heard. Romans 8. And verse 28. I'm sure you know this one. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Okay, what is it? For He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, you can be predestined to be with God. How? Easy. Just what it says there. Love God. That's it. You're called, love God. You're predestined. So I ask you, why do you feel that God places conditions on His promises? Anybody? No idea why He would put conditions on His promises?
Otherwise, we are more, we become like God.
Not only that, but a lot of these promises tie in with what I said last week, remember? Perseverance, waiting on God to do it in His time. Yes. He promised He will do this. He didn't say right now. He said on His schedule. And another thing, He promised to lead us out of any temptations and tribulations. Didn't say keep us from them. He said He would lead us out of them. You think maybe it's to help build character? There's a good reason. And what should your attitude be toward God's promises? Well, He gives us a clue there, back in Hebrews again. If we go to chapter 6 this time, and we look at start in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't become sluggish. Just because things aren't exactly going like you want them. Just keep it up there. So we got to have patience to inherit these promises. You know, it's helpful and it's encouraging to note a lot of these promises, not only truths, but this is another thing we can look at, God's promises. And maybe you'll want to keep a list whenever you're doing your Bible study or reading or something like this. You come across a promise from God. In some Bibles, it's very easy because most of them are marked. And the promise. So you might want to put down what that promise is. And then, in another column, you might want to, what must I do? And in the last column, you might want to put, what's going to be the result? A quick one would be, well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. There's a promise. The truth is, God loved the world. We have to believe in him. The result is eternal life. Hey, what better result could we have?
You can also put down the consequences.
Yes. That would be it. Consequences also. You know, one of the promises I came across in my life was the promise that no matter where I am, no matter what I do, God is with me. And God will comfort me. And believe me, this was most helpful during the time I lost Louise. So let's summarize here. Walking by faith is based on the certain word of God. Believing God and his word gives us experience, the experience of hope, joy, peace, answered prayer, and the fulfillment of many other priorities of God. Or promises of God. They are the promises of God. And we looked at some objects of faith, good and bad. We learned to do not entrust our lives to things which will ultimately fail. Only God and his word are worthy of our commitment and our trust. And some examples of faith. There are many throughout the Bible and throughout history of people who have trusted God. A good place to start, of course, was back in there in Hebrews chapter 11, which is, I've even heard it called, the Hall of Fame of those who had faith and strong faith in God. So, truths you can trust. Promises often have conditions. This is true of God's promises. We must not be careless or presumptuous in handling his word. So how do we handle his word, the Bible? Well, J.A. Bengel, another German theologian near the end of the 16th century or 17th century, first part of the 18th century, he had three easy steps to take care of the Bible. First of all, number one is get everything out of it. Second of all is do not read anything into it. And third of all is let nothing remain unread in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this evening, and we just ask now that you would continue to be with us and care for us. Help us, Father, to grow in our faith, Father, and to put more trust in you in all that we do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.